Hello and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls Chapter Chat. My name's Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we are digging into chapters 25 to 30 of House of Flame and Shadow. And we both feel so prepared because we did our homework today for every chapter.
I mean, last week, which we recorded yesterday, I did listen to all of it. I think most of it. I don't think I got to like chapter 24, but I had extensive notes.
I didn't get to chapter 25. And so I was so self-conscious, but now I have, because we didn't do chapter 25 last week. Chapter 25 is another dump. So we wanted to thoroughly listen before digging in. And I am so happy I did. Mm-hmm. If you don't remember, last week we left off with Bryce being a fucking reckless fucking idiot and just opening up the coffin with Vesperus in it. They're like, don't do it. Don't do it. She's like, I'm doing it. I don't care about you. And I was just so livid with her. Mm-hmm. And then immediately she like sits down across from Vesperus, crisscross applesauce.
Yeah, like let's play what a game. Is she? She's going to be like a little kindergarten, sit in front of her teacher. Tell me Literally. Everything about everything for 15,000 years. Okay. I'm here. I'm present.
It's so ridiculous the vigor she puts behind the idea that if we could capture her and get her under control, we could get information out of her.
Oh my God.
I'm just like,
she is kind of a bitch in this scene because she's doing it all for herself. She's really not thinking about anyone or the fact that now she's unleashed a
fucking hysteria
on a world that's not her own, that she can easily pop back out of.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's rude. And it's fucking rude.
It's just, it's so rude. And you know, she acknowledges it as she's leaving when Nesta says, you're just as bad of a monster as they are. And she's like, that's what love will do to you.
Ew.
Ha 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 ha! Like that's how it feels. Like I like that she acknowledges that. Yeah, she's being a complete asshole because this is so dangerous, so reckless, and it's not even like you're putting your own world at risk. You're putting someone else's lives at risk and she thinks she has it under control, but she doesn't. Because like we said last week, like she assumes she's the smartest in the room, and she's not. And she realizes after she left, she's like, did Nesta, like, they did she know what I was doing all along? And she did. Like, she clocked it, and she was doing this for different reasons than she thought. Like, she wasn't tricking anybody. She was not tricking Nesta and Ezreal.
Katie goes, I don't know if we can blame love for this one, Bryce.
I know. Like, it's too far. Too far. Okay, so should I walk us through chapter 25 here and you'll do 26? We'll alternate?
We can do both. This is a big one.
Yeah, we'll go in and out, obviously, but I'll like continue to narrate here. Okay, so she sits across from Vesperus. She's asking her questions, and Vesperus is like, I'm not going to help you kill my kind. How do you know Regulus so well? How long has he ruled in your world? He must be proud of himself. And she's like, Vesperus, are you related to Hesperus from my world? He's the evening star. And she's like, I'm the evening star, you bitch. It's a very funny back and forth. And she's like, you have something to add here.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how she put two and two together. And also, like, Why did Hesperus take the title of Evening Star if she's not actually the Evening Star?
I bet that she was like, well, she's gone, so that's mine now. Like, it's like when you get up from the seat and it's like, I'm going to take this seat.
Yeah. Well, also, the Evening Star is where Thea gets like her power from. And I know that's like kind of a little bit farther down, but like, the Evening Star, this is like where Rhys's power is from, even though it's technically Bryce's too.
Oh, is it definitely the Evening Star? Because I didn't write down what star it was and I just made that up.
No, it's definitely the Evening Star.
Okay. I didn't make it up, but like I just guessed because I didn't write down what star. Mm-hmm. She brings up the fact that she knows somebody that could eat an Asteri. And Vespers is like, what manner of creature is that? And she's like, well, his name's Apollyon and he ate your friend Sirius. And she's like, what do you mean? I do not believe this. And she's like, there's an empty throne on Midgard that says otherwise. Mm-hmm. It's really cute that Regulus just keeps it there. So she has like a very aggressive back and forth with this Asteria because she's like, she hasn't eaten in 15,000 15,000 years. There's nothing she can do to me right now, leech. And she's like, you better address me as Vesperus, not leech.
I didn't write this down, but it stuck in my mind of how when the sarcophagus opened, or coffin, I keep calling it, it's a sarcophagus. It's a crystal sarcophagus, okay?
Yeah, it's how the same thing.
Vesperus crawls out of the sarcophagus spider-like, and her hair is so dark that you can't, like, there's no light shining through it. And it just like drifts on the floor. And it's very the ring the coming grunge. Out of the TV. That's what happened in my mind.
So Vesperus talks about how the mist marks thin places between worlds. And she talks about the world that she comes from. We talked about this a little bit last week on our episode about how we think the Valg and the Asteria might be from the same world. Mm-hmm. She says that her world was at war with the other creatures there, mm-hmm. and that that world got sucked dry and darkness kind of encroached on it. And in Throne of Glass, when we see the Valg world, it is very dark and like just looks completely dead. Mm-hmm. So that would make sense if they're at war. And I do really think it makes sense that like if there's a creature made of light on that world, there's probably creatures made of darkness. Like everything lives in balance. Mm-hmm. And so that was really fascinating. The thin places is fascinating because now we have to go back and think about like where there was mist in any of the stories is a thin place between worlds.
Yeah.
Like in the next chapter or something, Ethan is going by the Bone Quarter and it's like full of mist. The dock is full of mist. And it's like, okay, the Bone Quarter is a thin place between worlds. And what does that mean for the Bone Quarter itself and the Underking and all of that stuff? Like there's so much to go back and think about again now, because wherever there's like a misty area, like, okay, I was thinking back to even Throne of Glass book 3, the area where Maeve's castle is, I feel like that was misty, like where she was learning. I forget what the area is called where she was training with Rowan, but I feel like over there was all misty.
So here's the thing. First of all, Brittany says I got pretty obnoxious after finding this out and pulled up my Kindle to look up mist for all the books, Brittany, including Throne of Glass.
We're on the same page.
Mist word. So I'm gonna finish Hellbent.
Oh my god, Katie, it was literally called Mist word.
Oh
my
god,
kidding me. Oh my god,
I need to go into Throne. I need to go back to Throne of Glass.
You have to read them
after I finish Hellbent. Like I have Air of Fire. I'm like, I'm gonna restart it and I'm gonna listen to it because
should we both be reading it
I need to go through it so we can get to it whenever we want to, but we're still recording this, so I don't know what.
Oh yeah, we're still recording this. I mean, like when we finish recording this.
We'll see. Yes, probably.
I feel like we have to.
Well, yeah. We would start with Throne of Glass. Like I'm gonna keep going so I know what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right, so we're all now very, very suspicious of any mist in any area of a Sarah J. Maas book. She also tells her that the smartest amongst them in her world learned how to jump between worlds, and they're called world walkers. Okay. But once they left their planet, she's like, why did you need the horn and the harp and tools like that if you could just world walk without them? And she said once they left their world, they were not as powerful. Their power was very much tied to the land, just like we're kind of seeing with these areas where the Fae's power is tied to the land. They weren't strong enough to jump without these different tools that they created. So in Throne of Glass, we're seeing the word keys for that. In the ACOTAR series, we're seeing the trove. And of course, that's merging with this where we saw the horn
so
used to world walk.
Backing up a little bit, because when she talked about how they jumped worlds, do you that said that the brightest minds to figured out how to bend the fabric of worlds, and they were called wayfarers and world walkers.
Yes.
So are they using these tools, or they?
No. So this is what I'm getting from that. They figured out how to do it without them when they had the power of their world behind them. But once they left the world, they weren't powerful enough to open the portal again without being on their own world where they had the power of the land.
Okay.
So that's why they created these tools to help them world walk. And I'm pretty sure that I've heard the phrase world walker in Throne of Glass.
Okay.
But again, I'm like, this is ringing a bell. Like, I need to reread. Bryce is going back and forth with fucking Vesperus. She doesn't really learn anything else of much importance because I did not write it down. And she's just talking about how she's so powerful and like, you'll never understand this land and you'll never know how to use your power. And she's like, is it so terrible living under our rule that you must rebel against us? And Bryce says, it wasn't that bad for me, but it's bad for tons of other people that are treated extremely poorly, murdered for no reason. So obviously, yes, it is bad and we will rebel against you. And she's just being so condescending. Vesperus is like, do you need all of your power? What's the big deal if we take a little bit of it? What were you going to do with it anyway? Like, she's being such an asshole. And she sees like the swords, like Truth Teller and the Star Sword. And she's like, you'll never understand the full extent of power. Like, she's just so annoying. Then she's like, and your ancestors were fools and never understood it either. And she could never access the power that I hid under this mountain. Rah! And like she like just like starts sucking it up. And then the light starts traveling up her legs. And then Nesta stabs her through the heart with Ataraxia. And that is how we end chapter 25.
Yes. Did we talk about how, okay, so I know I mentioned this earlier, but like there's two things here that I wrote down. So Vesperus was the one to give Thea the kernel of her magic, which I think we saw in the chapters beforehand. But she also fucking raised her from childhood, and she said that Thea never knew how to wield it, but Bryce does. She gave her a kernel of her magic.
At all.
Yeah.
Why would she give her the kernel of her magic?
I don't know, but I think it was when the beginning of this the Selene flashbacks started happening, and you saw, and she talked about it too in this chapter, but you saw her like giving like a piece of light to her.
But her light is all from other people's lights.
True. But so, she has her own magic.
It's confusing. I just thought Vesperus was being an asshole because she's like, all power is my power. Just like she says when, because right in a minute, we're going to see Az try to attack her with a jet of blue light that he wraps around her neck. And she's like, that's mine. And she just takes it because she can absorb whatever power's around her.
Also, there's a part where Vesperus tells her to use the crown to enact a path in clearing the minds of the people. So like she starts talking about, and Bryce has no idea what she's talking
basically
about.
Vesperus being like, you do this instead of doing this. Yeah. She just wants her to get the trove out basically so that she could take the trove. It's all kind of part of her little con artistry to get the trove in her presence so she can grab it. So, okay, chapter 26, if we continue right into this scene and don't talk about Ethan for a second, like she immediately thinks like, okay, because her Ataraxia doesn't work. Like literally she stands up, Vesperus, and she's basically like, should have went for the head. It's and like pushes the sword out of her just like Thanos does in Infinity War. And Nesta is in shock. She can't believe Ataraxia did not work. And she like immediately is like, the trove. And Az is like, do not fucking bring the trove to her. It is worth our lives to not bring it to her. Yep. Okay, you want to bring us into the beginning of chapter 26?
Yeah, so like Black Ichor comes out of Vesperus and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like a demon.
The Mortal Instruments.
There's a couple things that I like made reference to back to TMI. And then Bryce earlier last chapter, Jedi mind tricks the shadow sword. That's not what it's called. That's what is it called? The star sword. She Jedi mind tricked the star sword to her, and then she also Jedi mind tricks the truth teller to her, and then puts both of the blades into Vesperus, and it's weakening her, and she's like, yes, yes, yes,
it's working, and she can feel like all this like light rushing through her into the swords, and her hair, I feel like, is floating again.
Yes, but then of course Azriel, using his blue magic powers, throws it around Vesperus's neck, and she immediately absorbs it, and she's like,
yeah,
no!
And Bryce is like, no, don't. It's like, too little too late. You should have talked about this earlier. Maybe you should have communicated with your other fellow friends, warriors who are with you, how Asteri work before opening up the motherfucking casket, you dumb bitch.
Yeah. So if she would have worked with people, we would have maybe figured this out. Vesperus, like, immediately is like, ha 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 ha.
She literally is, you fools.
And she starts regaining her power. The blades get deflected from her, but then Nesta fucking decapitates her.
No, oh. She uses the blue power. She wraps around her hand like a glove so she could pull out the star sword and truth teller because she can't touch it before. Like that black meteorite stuff that it's made out of, she can't touch.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Yeah, but then Ness is like, not today, bitch, and decapitates her and stabs her multiple times.
It's awesome. I love that part so much. She's just like, ah! She's just like stabbing her dead body over and over again.
Is she dead? Die, is she really bitch. Dead?
Die.
Because Ataraxia can kill something with one stab, right?
Well, it kills something kind of like that the Asteri brought to the mountain, it feels like. What was the guy's name? The guy who's like pure fear that Cassian put in the prison. She kills him very easily with Ataraxia. I think it's like one stab and he dies. And she can't believe that it doesn't work immediately on the Asteri. But what has to happen, it seems like, is like it's like a vampire. You have to cut off their head with Ataraxia. But yeah, she kills it. She kills Vesperus, and then this is what really annoys me about this part. Bryce, she has the audacity to say, how dare you kill her, we had this under control.
Oh gosh.
Like, we should have kept her alive. I had more questions. Like, are you kidding me right now? She literally was powering up from an entire well under the mountain. And then Nesta goes, well, I just killed her with Ataraxia. Doesn't that give you answers? And she's like, no, I just have more questions. Like, how can that not give you answers? She killed her with her sword. Mm-hmm. She killed her. Mm-hmm. And then she just, like, pops away. And they're like, don't you dare leave right now. And she's like, I'm leaving. Goodbye. Well, and I'm taking your sword with me.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to touch on, before we move to chapter, I don't even think we were done with chapter 26, but it starts off with Ethan, and we just like kind of brushed right by him. But he's berating himself. Like, I shouldn't even be on this planet. I can't believe I killed Sigrid. Like, somebody has to get this kid. He's like, I don't know.
He needs to go to therapy.
There's nobody left. There's nobody left to replace Sabine as Alpha. Yeah, someone gets to get this kid a mirror and a therapist. And then we go back to Vesperus, and that's where we are right now.
So he leaves the Teen Wolf pack. So he just goes, he's like, bye, y'all. I got to figure, I got to go do something. Well, good luck.
No, wait. Wait, we have to, he references Lost. They're at the dock in the boat and they're like, come on, get in. And he's like, we have to go back. Kados is literally like, what? He's like, I have to go back to Crescent City and make things right. And he's like, what do you mean right? And he just shifts and runs away.
I love how I just have like one line for Ethan and I'm just like, he leaves. Because that's how much I don't fucking care about him.
You see, there's a big Lost reference and I found it hilarious because he's being, again, the most melodramatic child of all time. Mm-hmm. And he's just so clueless and he's so focused now. Like, we're going to see him be so focused on bringing Sigrid back to life. And it's just so stupid. Such a dumb idea.
Like, why?
And all of last book, he was like so focused on talking to Connor. And for what?
Come on. Let the past die.
He needs a therapist so bad. He's just screaming out for therapy.
Okay, so chapter 27 is very short. It's the end of Act 1, and we jump back to Vesperus, and immediately Bryce is like, okay, time to go. But Nessun asks... Nessa and Azra are like...
I can just picture her like throwing up a peace sign and jumping in the black hole, disappearing.
Nessa and Az like immediately try to detain her, but she pushes them off. And then she's like, I can use Crystal Coffin and I can make a portal and push my powers through that. And then she grabs, she Jedi mind tricks Truth Teller to her. And then
she already has it. Oh, yeah, right? She's already got Truth Teller. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, we already said that Nessa says you're as much a monster as they are. And she goes, Bryce says, love will do that to you. And then that's the end
and
of Act 1.
Blasts her with the silver flame. She's like, I felt cold like I've never felt before. And then, bye. Then we go to Hunt.
Yeah.
And he's given his lightning to Pollux because Pollux is like, or not Pollux, Regulus is like, I'm going to murder your friend if you don't give me lightning. And so he gives him the lightning. And his wings are starting to grow back. And he's like, they were unconscious when Lydia stabbed them with the first light potion to heal their wings. And he thinks that this is something sinister. Like, they're regrowing their wings just to torture them with the itchiness of it. Mm-hmm. And that they're just going to cut them off again.
Adis shows up. Prince Adis shows up to Hunt as a cat. And he's immediately like, are you Regulus? Because they've done this before. And then Adis like knew exactly what he was going to do. And he's like, well... First time I met Bryce, she was 13, and I asked, how do you blind an oracle? Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and so he's like, I'm looking for Bryce, still.
On the hunt. And he sounds sad. Like, he's like, I'm trying to find her.
It's just funny how, like, in the first book, we didn't like hell. It was scary.
Well, I was suspicious that hell was just like a name for something that we didn't understand that we would associate with hell. But like, it's not actually, because the fact that she had a friend from hell was, suspicious. It was very Rysand. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Katie says, not me thinking Prince Adis and Bryce were going to be a thing back in book one.
Well, I think it's very fair to have thought that because we were waiting for the pattern where she has a second love interest. And the second love interest usually appears as someone who's a villain at first, just like Cormac did at the beginning. We're like, is this the second love interest?
But it's always been Hunt. There were so many people. I've seen art too. People shipping Azriel and Bryce. And I just didn't
get that. Yeah, we talked about that.
I know. But now that it's over and I'm like... Still doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, I just can see that we're bored of her and Hunt. That's what happened. Because you can't read House of Sky and Breath and not get bored of her and Hunt. There's way too much. This is like my gripe with sexy scenes. It's like if there's no emotional backing for them, they feel gratuitous and you get bored. And that's what happened reading Sky and Breath. They have a lot of sex scenes and like everything's just hunky dory. And it's like, where's the tension? Why do I care anymore? We've already done this.
Yeah.
And they've already said all these things to each other. And she tried to kind of create that tension by them having a pact where like they weren't going to have sex until they got to know each other better. Remember that?
Yes.
But then like it's very soon broken and then we get so many sex scenes that it's like eh.
I feel like that's the same thing that happens in Wings and Ruin as well, because I just didn't care about that book, but it was because like Rhys and Feyre were together and it was done. Like we got all the tension and everything in book two.
Yeah, I didn't feel the same way about that because it's not like as smutty as this. Like there's like just scenes where the sex scene just keeps going and going and going and going. And I'm like, oh my God, come on. Let's get to something that's actually like feels important now.
Well, you could say the same thing for Silver Flames. Like there was
No, you can't. Every sex scene is like so full of tension because they haven't admitted they love each other. They haven't admitted that they're mates. She's like, she's being vulnerable in a way we've never seen her be vulnerable for before in a lot of these sex scenes. Like they all mean something and they're all at a like an emotional crux where something has happened and we're on the edge of our seats. But in Sky and Breath, there was nothing. We didn't know where anything was leading. There was like nothing to build us to something where it felt like we're getting somewhere. We didn't have that like, okay, now we need this. In Silver Flames, it's like we have steps to like her becoming
literal steps.
We've got literal steps. And each of those steps like marks a place in her growth. Whereas Sky and Breath is kind of just like we're floating, we're in the ocean. What are we looking for? Like Ophion, like what are we doing? It was like very much felt like we were chicken with our head cut off and we had no direction.
Yeah, I feel that. Oh, we were talking about Adis. I'm like, because I do feel like Adis is going to come up again, obviously, later on. We will. We're not going to talk. We'll talk about Adis theories probably after we finish the book. So there's a whole part about them talking about Sophie. Because Sophie, I don't know, has Sophie's thing been revealed yet, like who, like what she is?
So yes, so Sophie was a Thunderbird.
Yeah,
she was murdered at the beginning of Sky and Breath, and mm-hmm. like she becomes this irrelevant plot point that we spend so much time talking about, mm-hmm. and she's dead. We think she's gonna like maybe come back to life, but she's just dead. They find her body at the end, and like I think the Ocean Queen picked it up, but she was dead. And they couldn't revive her. It's built up that Sophie's so important and her brother's so important. The brother doesn't even show up in this book. Like, I thought maybe she was lying in Sky and Breath and that he would show up. But like, brother's just gone. He's just like with her parents. And we don't even see him. Sophie Renass, now we're talking about her fucking again because that's why they wanted her. So Adis tells Hunt why his lightning's important, that it can be very useful in necromancy. It can bring someone, it's the Frankenstein jolt that can bring someone back to life. They're gonna use it for the harpy, and he puts two and two together like, oh, that's why everyone wanted Sophie, because they could use her for necromancy. Is that why? And he's like, I wonder if the Ocean Queen, who has her remains, that's what I think, the last person to have them, but the River it's Queen. Not there anymore. No, I don't even think it was the River Queen. It was the Ocean Queen. The River Queen wanted them.
Oh, okay.
That's why Therion was with them, because he River was trying
Queen
to find it.
I wrote down the River Queen wanted Sophie for necromancy.
Yeah. Well, no. We find out why the River Queen wanted her, and it wasn't because of that. We find it out later on in the book.
But and now this is what we figure out here.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's what he's assuming. But then when we actually talk to the River Queen, she tells us what she wanted it for.
We're not there yet.
I know, but it's not really a big plot point at all. It's just there. I'm just like, every mention of Sophie Renass annoys me because Sophie Renass never comes into
play. She's so irrelevant.
She's just dead.
Yeah.
She's just dead. And I was like, why are we still talking about Sophie Renass? Rant.
So we're still having a conversation with Adis. And he's still saying some things that are very secretive about Hunt's father. And he's just like, why? Who is my father? What is my father? Why is my father?
I'm just like, your dad is clearly one of these princes. Sit down.
And then finally he's like, yeah, Asteria can use Hunt's lightning to raise the dead. I think that's the end of the chapter. Katie says that, I'm so sorry, but Hunt's lightning powers never fail to leave me unimpressed.
Katie.
Lightning.
Sweet, sweet, irrelevant Sophie. Katie says there were startlingly few sex scenes in this book compared to House of Sky and Breath. And I really appreciated that because when we did get them, they were
good,
meaningful.
Well,
I still was kind of bored when the shoot was like Hunt and.
Yeah.
Hunt and Bryce.
Yeah.
But like they weren't as long as Sky and Breath. All right.
29.
So, okay. Let me just, so chapter 29, Bryce collides sideways with a wall and she lands at her dad's house. Okay. And she's like, it was dry, vaguely musty, familiar smelling. Like she doesn't know where she landed. And I'm just like immediately annoyed rereading this because I'm like, you know exactly where you landed. You know exactly what you were doing landing at your dad's house. And she acts like she didn't try to land in her dad's house in the first place.
Okay. I didn't know that. And I was just like, oh, she just lands in her dad's house. I don't try to read past what happens sometimes. He goes, well, like, okay. Where the hell have you been, Loka?
He does. And he immediately disarms her and puts the Gorsian shackles, which makes it so she can't use her magic. And he takes her cell phone. So he's just going to hold her hostage until she answers his questions sufficiently. Mm-hmm. And she goes, are Ruin and Hunt alive? And he's like, you show your hand, Bryce Quinlan. And Bryce is just sitting there like, you show your hand, bitch.
Remember in the beginning of this, before we had finished the book and we talked, like, I think we were like in chapter 30 or something. And we're like, oh, I really hope the Autumn
There's
King
a redemption
has
arc.
A redemption arc.
You know, he has a redemption second. And then it disappears.
I just really thought, I wrote this down in chapter 30. I just really thought he was protecting her or something, but he's really just using her for information.
Yeah. I mean, like in his own way, I think he's weirdly proud that his daughter is the like starborn princess, but he's such a dick. He's such a narcissist that he can't see past what brings stuff to him. Like all he wants is to use her for his own personal gain. Anyway, so he's like, where have you been? He's like, I can guess as much from that dagger at your side that you're someplace that I've always wanted to go and you didn't even invite me. You were at the home of the Fae. I didn't get to go. And he's like, I've sent everyone away, so it's just us, and no one's gonna know you're here until I want them to. And Bryce goes, so you mean we're gonna have to do all of our own cooking?
But so he's surprisingly good at cooking, though, because she's like, I had roast chicken and vegetables. And
What's dad been doing in his spare time? Watching cooking shows?
It's been like 5 days, right?
Yeah, we learned that it's been 5 days, but we learned that in the next scene with them together. We go back to Ethan for a second, and in his head, it's like, make your brother proud.
I hate that. Like, why is he thinking it in the Viper Queen's voice?
Literally, why is it always in her voice? Like, we hear it 100 times in that creepy, like, old lady
make
voice.
Make your brother proud.
You know what? I want to do a TikTok of make your brother proud with that noise. It's just like cooking. Make your brother proud. Taking a shower. Make your brother proud.
Or like pumping gas.
Make your brother proud. POV, you're Ethan. I'm just going to become like the TikTok girl making fun of Ethan.
I love it.
I'm making that. Let me just write it down. Make your brother proud.
Will she do it this week before this episode comes out? We shall see.
So, where were Ethan. We? Ethan. Oh, that's it. He just like runs past. This is when he runs past the bone quarter. He's like, oh, it's misty over there. Make your brother proud.
Well, no. And then he goes.
No. He goes to the House of Flame and Shadow.
And this is where I wrote down, this feels a lot like the Institute from the Shadowhunters, because it's like, it's glamored, basically. Like, it's supposed to look like something, but then when you get closer, it's not.
Okay, to me, I was like, this is giving Jurassic Park when Laura Dern goes down to reset the power. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
She opens the door and there's this like this staircase going down into the dark depths. Maybe Make Your Brother Proud will be our always.
Katie, I make that reference all the time.
Which reference?
The maybe this will be our always. And Katie said maybe Make Your Brother Proud will be our always.
Okay, so wait, what did you think about,
you said that it's like Jurassic Park.
I was talking about it when you disappeared. Well, when Laura Dern is running from the raptor to get to the place where they have to restart the electricity to get fences back up in Jurassic Park 1, mm-hmm. she has to go to this building and she opens the door and it's just this like staircase down into the dark depths of this building and you have no idea where it leads and she's not connected to anyone on the phone until she get here. And the guy with her got eaten and the door closes behind her and she just has to walk down the dark steps. And that's like what I was picturing Ethan doing. Can I just say, okay, so Ethan's walking down these dark steps and he can't see anything. It's like, it's so dark. And then he just runs into a metal wall. And then it opens and it's a door. He just ran face first into a door.
He did? Oh, I didn't catch that.
And Jaceba was like, I guess that's one way to knock.
Did you just call her Jaceba?
Yeah.
Like amoeba? It's Jessaba.
Oh, no.
Christine. Anyways, referencing back to Ethan running into the wall, Katie goes, where are those sunball instincts, my dude?
Seriously, if it's dark, put your arm out, you dumb bitch. What are you doing? Isn't it instinct when you're walking in the dark to put your arms out if you can't see? Like, why is he so stupid? He's to not make his brother proud, Katie says. Anyway, so the other scene in this chapter, we're with Bryce and her daddy at dinner playing the question game.
Is this chapter 30?
It's chapter 30, yeah. And Bryce is like, are Hunt and Rune alive? And her dad's like, answer my question first. And he wants to know about random dumb stuff. Bryce tells her dad to annoy him. She's like, well, the Fae there on the other land are stronger than us.
Yep.
Because they don't have the drop. And the Asteri are taking our power. I think this is her play to try to get her dad to turn all the way against the Asteri because she knows that he will just go with whoever has the powerful. Most potential to give him power.
Mm-hmm. The Autumn King learns that Rhysand land and how the Asteri is stealing power. And then Bryce also now fucking learns that Cormac is dead.
Yeah, finally. It took forever.
I didn't know she didn't know that.
Well, she disappeared before they learned about it.
Yeah. That's all I really have written down besides that Ethan meets Jessaba.
I've got other stuff here. So her dad has the nerve to say that Rune deserves everything coming his way. He deserves his fate. And she's like, he's your son. And he goes, I can have others. Fucking douchebag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's like, you're so like your mother. You're not going to ask about how she is. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I know that if something was wrong with her, you wouldn't be able to wait to tell me just to make me upset, which is so sad.
Mm-hmm. He's so evil. Yeah, Sophie.
Yeah. She basically, she's like, why are the Asteri keeping Hunt and Rune alive? And he's like, to use them against you, duh. He's like, where did you get Truth Teller? And she's like, I stole it. And then he's like, Ophion, for all intents and purposes, is dead. That's everything. Then we go to Ethan. And then we draw to the end of chapter 30. Lots of fun stuff in these past five chapters. This was a hoot.
Such a hoot.
Katie says, I just imagined Azirael flipping his shit without his dagger. Like, that's his emotional support. Yeah, it's his emotional support dagger. I cannot wait for the next ACOTAR book. I'm so excited for more Nesta coming into her own. Katie, make Elaine a villain so she's interesting. Yeah, I think that would be amazing because that would really go against what we're expecting if Elaine came out to be a villain in the third book. If she had like her villain origin story and we were shipping her with all these people and her two sisters had to like try to bring her back from the darkness. That would be fun, man.
At least something a little more interesting or just
that is interesting.
No, wait, I know that. I know that, but like something more interesting than just Elaine being like the next love interest.
Oh yeah. It would be so cool if she was the villain and like also in a love triangle, but like she was going dark. Mm. Like they could do the story that they destroyed Wanda with in a good way if it was like a little by little becoming a villain story and not just like flip a switch.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that is going to be our episode this week. Next week we'll probably do chapters 31 through 36, something in that range. Around 5 seems to be a good spot for an hour-long discussion. Mm-hmm. This was so fun. We're so excited to keep going. We are Those Forking Fangirls. Our main show comes out every Friday where we talk everything books, movie, TV, fandom, nerdy pop culture in our adult lives. And of course, Chapter Chat comes out every single Thursday. You can follow us for free in your favorite podcast app. That would be great. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love a review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Spotify, just rate the 5 stars really easy. If you're an Apple Podcast, if you could write like a little tiny blurb sentence or even just rating, that really helps the show out. And if you don't know, we're a viewer supported show. So we have a Patreon. Natasha, tell them about our Patreon.
Yeah. So we have 3 tiers over there. The first tier, you can get our extra show at the end called Fangirl Tea Time. It's 30 minutes. It's on the end of every episode. There are now 65 of them. So you can go all the way back. It's also ad-free. So you can get all the episodes ad-free. And we just have a really fun community over there. And there's lots of extra perks like in our Team Edward tier and then our Team Pools Bananas where we have a monthly like fangirl hangout session and we get to talk with you guys one-on-one and it's super fun all the time. We actually have one this weekend. Yeah. So looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Or tonight. Wait, we're doing it tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. You can follow us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls or on YouTube. We have visual versions of the show, youtube.com/thoseforkingfangirls. We release episodes every week. So we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for hanging with us. I'm Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.